God, I'll greet you in Jesus' name. It is good to be together again. And as reminded, we have no promise of tomorrow. Jesus will come again. We have no promise that the service will end. We have no promise that the lights will stay on, that we can finish the service. Are you ready to meet Jesus? I'd like to take a moment and just say thank you to this congregation. Thank you for so much. Thank you for the scrapbook. Thank you for the gift that was given to us. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for making us feel welcome, just welcoming us here. Thank you for my prayer. Thank you for your prayers for my wife and family when they were back home. Somebody took time to send my wife flowers. That meant a lot. I've enjoyed the week. It's hard to believe that we're here at Sunday night. I've enjoyed it in my prayers that God's word would make a fresh impact on your life and that God would guide you and bless this congregation as you continue to serve him. May there be a faithful group here when Jesus comes again. I have one more story about a little creature for the children. And maybe a little application for adults as well. This one took place relatively late at night. I was at a meeting and I needed to get in my vehicle and go home. I was somewhat sleepy. It was kind of a cold night. The vehicle was cold. I got in, I started up, I started driving. And immediately I heard a noise. I'm like, whatever is that? Something's screeching. Something's not the way it should be. I immediately thought of wheel bearings. I thought of a fan motor. I could not figure out what it is. Something was not right. And it was fairly loud, but it was not there when I came to the meeting. Suddenly, I knew what it was. Do you have crickets down here? There was a cricket in my van singing for all it could sing. And late at night, I had a 20-minute drive. I was not really in the mood to have a cricket singing in the van. So as best as I could, I tried to tell the cricket to be quiet. I started kicking at parts of the van. There was something on the floor I was throwing there, meanwhile trying to keep the van on the road, but the cricket continued to sing, and the more noise I made, the louder the cricket got. Suddenly, I felt a little ashamed of myself. I said, you know, if Paul and Silas could sing at midnight in jail when their very life was maybe at stake, could I not put up with the cricket singing for 20 minutes? And I thought of the verses we have in Psalm 95, verse 1 to 3. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Notice, it says a joyful noise. That's my singing. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And so, children, sing. And to this congregation, as you go forth from tonight and you face the bumps and somebody tries to quiet you, sing. Make a joyful noise unto our God. Why? For he is a great God. And he is a king above all gods. We are commanded to sing in Scripture. And there's a reason why. Because there is power in singing and praising to our God. So that challenged me. That little cricket, it sang for all I could sing for 20 minutes. The next morning when I went in, the next morning when I went to work, I didn't hear him anymore. I guess his lesson was done. He had taught me a lesson. Tonight for a message, I invite you to Luke chapter 8. When you get to the last night, it seems there's so much that could be said. And tonight, I'd like to look at a story. Two stories that are woven together, life-changing stories that are woven together. And like us, for us to be a part, as Jesus taught, he invited his listeners to be a part of this story, be a part of his teaching, be a part of what a lesson he was trying to make. And I want us to do that tonight. I titled the message, Healing in the Tassels. Luke chapter 8. I'd like to start reading at verse 40. There's two stories woven together. And sometimes there's one that's in the middle that we view as maybe an interruption to the real story. And yet I'd like to take a closer look at that. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And when the women saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. So in verse 41, we have this man named Jairus coming before Jesus. He's a ruler of the synagogue. He comes to Jesus, and he falls down and begs him to come to his house. He has a daughter there who is sick, who is a daughter at the point of dying. And it's obvious that this man loves his daughter. And he wants her health restored. To think of him as a ruler of the synagogue, falling down before Jesus, besought, begging, come to my house. But he was not the only person looking for Jesus. In verse 42, it says, But as he went, the people thronged him. Meaning the crowd was so thick, so strong, so great that it nearly suffocated or choked him. That's what the word throng means. It pressed in around him. I want you to keep that picture in mind of Jesus there and the crowd pressing in around him. I don't know if the disciples acted as security guards, as a barrier for Jesus, but the crowd was pressing in around him. And so here in this crowd is Jairus falling down before Jesus. The crowd pressing in around him, pleading for Jesus to come. And in the crowd comes another person looking for Jesus. There is a quiet seeker coming through the crowd. She is pressing through the crowd. She has a need on her mind. She's heard of Jesus, and she is looking for Jesus. And she comes. And as I read and reread this passage, I'm amazed how Luke records the story. Putting in those details to give us a glimpse and a picture of what the need was. There's several things about this lady that we want to notice. Let's look at her need. Say she had an issue of blood, and she was struggling with this need for 12 years. Now, an interesting note, 12 years. How old was Jairus' daughter? 12 years. So when Jairus and his wife welcomed this newborn baby into their home, is when this lady became ill with her issue of blood. 12 years. Now here they were, both coming to Jesus for help. And if you want a little interesting study, On the number 12, look through the Bible at all the different things that are 12. Some say 12 is a symbol of faith. But here she was, 12 years, going from doctor to doctor. And it says she had been declared unclean. If she had an issue of blood, she had been declared unclean. It means she could not be in contact with other people. She would have been pushed to the outside of her community. She would have been cut off from human contact. I don't know if she had family. But can you imagine? She was not welcome at family activities. That means no hugs from her nieces and nephews or children if she had any. We don't know those things. Verse 43 says that she spent all her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. And if you look at that word, all her living, implies that she was living from hand to mouth. She was needy. Her living standard was likely very low. Maybe even begging for food, begging for clothes. And now we have this suffocating crowd of people thronging and pushing and shoving to get to Jesus. Everyone wants to see. Everyone wants to hear. Some come with requests. We have the ruler of the synagogue down on his knees before Jesus. But now coming through the crowd is this woman. Quietly, I don't know how she got through that crowd. But she wanted to see Jesus. And in verse 44, it says, continuing on the sentence from verse 43, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, she reaches out. She comes through that crowd. She reaches out and touches the border of his garment. And immediately, she's healed. She knows it. And then Jesus asks the question, who touched me? And just like the disciples said, Master, the multitude is all around you. Why do you ask the question, who touched you? Do you not understand? Look at all the people. But Jesus said, somebody had touched me. And he knew that virtue had gone out of him. He knew. And the woman was still there. She realizes that when it means that she was not hid, means she knew she couldn't hide the fact, and she, trembling and falling down before him, declares and just confesses it all. And let's stop in the story for now. We could say, why didn't she just kind of walk past and bump Jesus and keep going on? She did. She made a deliberate move here. It talks in verse 44, touched the border of his garment. The Greek word for that border is kraspidon, meaning a fringe, a tassel, or a hem. And if we take that word and put it in the Hebrew, is the word karaf, if I'm saying that right, which means a corner, an edge, a hem, or a wing. Now I'd like to look at some other verses in the New Testament. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 56. And whithersoever he entered, into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Let's back up to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, several verses at the end of that chapter, verse 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. So why the hem of his garment? I'd like to take a journey back through the Old Testament for a little bit. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 15. You might say I'm way off, but there's something that fascinates me about this. Numbers chapter 15. Verse 37, to the end of the chapter, God is speaking to Moses, giving them instructions. Verse 37 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a warring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." God was giving instructions to Moses, telling them to put this border fringes on the bottom of their garments. And in this fringe is a ribbon. This ribbon of blue is supposed to be included there. Why did God want this fringe, this tassel there? Why was there blue mixed in? He wanted this thing there, and the answer is there, that they remember the commands of God. This fringe was to point their minds to God, reminding them of what God had done for them. That ye remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. A little bit of history. In the ancient culture, fringes were a part of your identity and assured you of protection of the gods. Your outer garment had the tassels on the border. You were identified by that fringe on the hem of your garment. The Assyrians and the Babylonians believed that the fringes there provided them protection from their gods. If a husband and wife divorced, the husband would go to the wife and cut off part of that hem to remove her identity, giving a sign that they were divorced. Requests were made by individuals by coming to someone and grasping a hold of the tassel and hanging on till the request was granted. And in most cultures, the tassels were only worn by important people. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 19. God was saying here in Numbers, "I want everyone to wear them." Why did God want everyone to wear them? Exodus 19. Children of Israel gathered at Mount Sinai. God is preparing to speak to them. He has some words for Moses. So he calls Moses up to him. Verse 3. "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Words that Moses was to give the people is that ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We say a kingdom of priests. How is God going to do this? How is God going to make them a nation, a kingdom of priests? Two ways. By fringes on their garment and having a ribbon of blue in the tassel. A ribbon of blue. God had desired that this nation, as he delivered them from Egypt, would be faithful to him. That this nation would be an example to the world. He wanted this nation to show God to the others. He wanted them to show them the true God. So how could they do this except to remember the commandments and to be priests themselves? Turn over to Exodus 28. This blue, we're just going to look at a few verses. This blue was a color worn by the high priests. And the instructions, we're just going to pick out a few verses out of Exodus 28. We'll read verses 3 to 6. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a bordered coat, and a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and fine twined linen, with cunning work. Down to verse 8. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. Over in verse 31, we have another one. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. Blue was the color worn by the high priest. Now suddenly, it was a whole nation walking around with tassels on the hem of their garment, and woven in that tassel was blue. Blue. What was the purpose of the priest? The priest was chosen as the closest person to God. In every religion, there were gods. In all the religions, there was God. And every god, lowercase g, had a temple. And working in that temple was a priest who stood before the worshipers in connection with their god or gods. The tabernacle for the Israelites was the same way. There was a high priest there representing, connecting the people with God. The closest man who could get to God was by coming to the place of worship before the priest, the high priest. And God was now telling Moses, I want you to make you a kingdom of priests. And I want you to wear the color of a priest. That's blue. Blue was an expensive color to get. Royal blue. But one strand was affordable by every child of God. And so just take a moment and reflect on that. God creates this chosen nation out of the children of Israel. He leads them to a prime piece of real estate that is in the central of the world of trade and travel. And he asks them all to wear this fringe, this tassel of blue on their garments, the color that the priests were worn. Now, if you were somebody traveling through that nation, if you were somebody that traveling through, what would you think? As you saw, you witnessed these people wearing tassels, everyone wearing these tassels, wealthy or not, and the color of the priest was woven in there, what would you think about? In Joshua, turn to Joshua chapter 2. Did the stories of the children of Israel, what God was doing, travel? We could spend a lot of time looking at all this. Look at many different accounts, but I'd like to just look at one. Read these verses in Joshua chapter 2. The spies had come over into the land of Canaan. There's a spy of Jericho. They're finding a hiding place with Rahab, and she is confessing that Israel's God is unlike any other god. Verses 8 to 11. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when he came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heaven above and in earth beneath. When the children of Israel were faithful, the presence of God, the power of God, went on before them. The neighboring countries knew that there was something different about this God. Before we go back to Luke chapter 8, I'd like to look at one more Old Testament scripture. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You know what the Hebrew word for wings is here? It's the same word as I mentioned earlier, kanaf, which means the hem, the border, the tassels, the fringes. Do you see what's taking place here? Unto you that fear my name, unto you that see me, Jesus, as the Messiah, to you that are looking for the Messiah, redemption through the Messiah, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his tassels, with healing in his wings, in the border of his garments. That healing will restore, that healing will purify, it will awaken, it will enlighten, it will invigorate. And it shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That statement means you will be full of health, you will be full of life, you will be satisfied, you will be happy. What did Jesus tell the woman in Luke 8? Said, go in peace. Said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Why? Because how she viewed Jesus. She saw him as the Messiah. She saw him as someone with healing in his wings. And she reached out and touched him. I want us to place ourselves in the story. Imagine you are the woman. For 12 years, you are chasing down every earthly help possible and receive no results. And now you've heard of one who's called the Messiah. You've read the verses in Malachi. You know there is one coming who is healing in his wings, who is healing in the very tassels that hang down from his garment. And so your faith begins to grow. Is there really hope for me? And so you dare to press through the crowds, making others unclean in the process. You dare to come in close enough. You think, do I dare come in close enough to just reach out and touch that tassel? Can you picture that woman reaching out, finally getting in through the crowd and looking at Jesus and seeing that tassel hanging down there? And in faith, in fear, in apprehension, in desperation, reach out and touch it. And then they hear the words, who touched me? You imagine what went through her. Who touched me? Jesus knew. Jesus knew the woman was there. This did not come as a surprise. And she fell down. And her faith was strengthened. And she told Jesus the story. And I think she heard the first tender, compassionate words that she heard in a long time. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. She had been living on the outside, living unclean, unwanted. Here Jesus said, daughter, daughter. She suddenly belonged. She found somebody who cared because she reached out. She was healed physically, and I see spiritually. That faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. There are many areas in this story that we can identify with. After we meet with Jesus, we will not be the same. After you meet with Jesus, you will never be the same. After you reach out and touch Jesus, reach out, you will never be the same. And yet too many times we're like the woman. We go chasing after so many other things before finally coming to Jesus. We look for healing. Every wound in your life needs to experience healing. You need healing. But where are we looking for healing? Sin. It's a wound. It needs healing. As we come to the age of accountability and understand our need of Jesus, it needs healing. We need to reach out. We are people of relationships, and those relationships get wounded at times. We need healing. There's physicians, there's counselors of the world that are prescribing you a healing, and we can waste our living upon it. Or we can come to Jesus. Our lives are all different. Not one of us will have the same request or need. In Luke 8, we have two individuals coming to Jesus at the same time. Their lifestyles were different. Their living standard was different. Yet they're both coming to the same place. It doesn't matter if you're a ruler of the synagogue, if you are popular, if you have friends, if you have wealth. It doesn't matter if other people are coming to you for answers. It doesn't matter if you're the outcast, if you have no friends, if you're living on the outside of the community, as it were. You both need Jesus. Jesus is waiting for that tug. As Jesus stood there that day, listening to the people, seeing the people press around him. And as Jairus fell down, later they came and said, "Jairus, don't worry. Your daughter's dead." Jesus said, "No, she's just sleeping." He knew what was taking place. Jesus also knew that woman was coming and waiting to reach out to touch his garment. Jesus was waiting for that tug, a tug of a searching heart, a tug of faith, a tug of surrender, a tug of acknowledgement that Jesus is the Messiah, a tug that says, "I identify with you." And this story thrills me because it exalts the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus. You know, God asked the people in the Old Testament to wear that fringe on their garment, that ribbon of blue, to identify, to be a messenger of Jesus. You know, we're not asked to wear that today, but God, Jesus still wants us to be his messengers. Jesus still wants us to identify with him. Are we ready to do that? Before we can be his messenger, we need to identify with him. We need to experience the healing in his wings, healing in his tassels. And that healed woman went forth. Jesus told her, "Go in peace." We don't read what happened next. But she went, a changed woman. Where are you at? Where are you at? Are you in the 12 years still groping about? Or maybe you feel like you have your life all sewn up. You have things figured out. You don't need Jesus. You know what Matthew 7 says? Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23, read this way. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." There are people today who say they are doing the work of Jesus. They are saying we're living a good life. But they've never bowed down before Jesus. They've never reached out in faith and surrender and humility to receive healing. Philippians chapter 2 reads this way. Verses 9, 10, and 11 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." There is one day that every knee will bow. But as I understand scripture, someday it will be too late. Someday it will be too late. Now is the time. Now is the time to identify with Jesus Christ. So I ask you the question tonight. Have you knelt down and reached out and taken hold of the tassel? Have you confessed with your tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord? Do you see Jesus as the Messiah, the only one that can truly heal you? The needs in your life, the vacancies there, the lonely feelings, the emotions that you struggle with, the search for identity, where do I belong? Jesus wants you to belong with him. Tonight you have another opportunity.